So normally when we have a recession, it's because of something we did that was stupid, frankly, whether it's deciding to, and your industry has been through a couple of them, you know, the one back in 2008, which was really bad, primarily because we decided everybody needed a mortgage, whether they could pay it or not. And then we could put them into bonds, and then we could sell derivatives on the bonds and that sort of thing. The one before that, we got equally hung up on dot-com stocks and decided anything that's last name was dot-com had to be worth billions of dollars, whether it made any sense or not. And then a few years before that, your industry again suffered through the SNL syndication crisis. So normally it's when we create some sort of speculative bubble. This one, and there have been a few others like this in our history, but this one was obviously a big outside force, something we haven't seen before. Now, the good news about that, and there's not a lot you can say was good news about this, when this started, we were in the 11th year of an economic expansion. It was the longest expansion in the history of the country, and it still had some legs to it. It wasn't dying of old age. So nothing was broken, and that's a good thing, because normally when we have one of those others, we have task forces and we have to pass laws and we figure out what's wrong and how to fix the structure. And then we get things going along again until we figure out some way to create some other problem for ourselves. This time around, nothing was really broken. So one thing became obvious to me, and I said it in the very first speech I gave back in March of 2020. This is an economic crisis being brought on by a health crisis. How well we do economically is going to be a function of how well we handle the health crisis. And we had the main challenge we had was the structure wasn't broken. Let's not break it along the way. And that was the biggest challenge that we had. And on the whole, I think we succeeded in that. And I'll say a little bit more about that. So it was a little bit different. The other thing I'll mention at the outset here is, my lens is economics. And I try to look at economic information to try to drive the things I say and the things I write about and talk about. And So I looked for history. What can history tell me about this? And not surprisingly, the first thing I stumbled onto, like you've heard many references to over the past year and a half, was the Spanish flu back about 100 years ago, back in 1918. And we could learn a little bit from that, but not a whole lot, really, because from an economic perspective, if I go back to 2000 or to 1918, and you stop and think about it, the United States was not yet a world power. We were coming out of World War I. We had not established ourselves as a big world power, a dominant force in the world economy at that time. So we didn't have the clout, if you like, to deal with something like this that we have now. We also, those of you, again, who remember a little bit of history, back in 1836, Andrew Jackson got mad at Nicholas Biddle and destroyed the Second Bank of the United States. And we went from 1836 to 1913 without a central bank. And then we created the Federal Reserve System. So it was only created in 1913. It was only 5 years old at the time. And so it was just getting its sea legs. It wasn't really a force in the economy in the way that it is today. And I think importantly, it didn't have a mandate to do anything about the economy. It was just to provide a money supply. That's what it was supposed to do. It didn't really have a big policy function. That didn't come about until 1948 with the Full Employment Act. And so we didn't really have much monetary policy to rely on, and fiscal policy, some of the things we did, the CARES Act, the Recovery Plan Act, those sorts of things. We didn't know that we could do that back then. Most of the good scholarship about how to use fiscal policy to help an economy didn't happen until the 1930s. And if you stop and think about it, there's a good reason for that. We tend to think about things when we have a reason to, and the Great Depression certainly gave us a reason to, and a lot of great minds did a lot of great things during that decade. And so we didn't have really much to work with. And so it didn't really teach me as much as I hoped it would. It taught me a little bit, which I'll talk about at the very end here. The other thing I want to emphasize about this downturn that's very different from what we usually see is just how fast and deep it was. It's hard to get your arms around it. We very quickly forget things that even recent things that are unpleasant. We very quickly forget the depths of them sometimes. I mentioned the Great Recession back in 2008 a few minutes ago. That was by far the worst we had had since the Great Depression at the time. We lost 9.4 million jobs in the economy in 14 months during the Great Recession. 9.4 million jobs, 14 months. Okay. We lost 22.5 million jobs in 2 months this time. Literally 2.5 times the job loss in 1/7 the time. we had never seen anything like this before in our history. And so it was just shocking how fast it went down. And there's a lot of numbers you could illustrate that with. That's a good one. I want to mention one other one because it's one of those things that day in and day out only folks like me look at. But there's a statistic that comes out once a week. In fact, it comes out on Thursdays. It's called Initial Claims for Unemployment. Normally gets no attention whatsoever. People just kind of glance at it. A short name for that's layoffs, because it's a person who filed an unemployment claim for the first time. And the reason you do that is you got laid off. So in essence, it's sort of a proxy for layoffs. The highest that number had ever been since we started keeping records over 40 years ago was 695,000 before the pandemic. That was the all-time record, was 695,000. It got to 6.9 million, 10 times as high this time around. So obviously we've got a much different situation this time than we had that then. And one other thing I'll mention about it, it didn't come back below 700,000 for 54 weeks. So literally for 54 straight weeks, we had more people filing claims for unemployment than we've ever had since we've been keeping records before that. So this should give you a sense of how deep this thing was. And all that big loss happened in March and especially April of last year. And then we started coming back. And we started at the beginnings of an election cycle at that point in time. And so as soon as it started coming back, all the politicians started saying, this is going to be a V-shaped recovery. That is, we went down very fast, we're going to come back very fast.